And if you don't know him, then hopefully today I'll introduce you to him personally.
Yeah.
Rather than just knowing of his name. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he's the Savior, he's the Creator, he's the ruler of all things. He's the Maker of heaven and earth. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I'm not going too fast for you, am I? Okay, I'll try and remember to slow down a little. Should be used to it by now. Just to give chance to time to interpret. So we have a mighty God.
Amen.
We have a mighty Lord.
Yeah.
He's a risen Savior.
Yeah.
He's a glorified Jesus.
Yeah.
And he's the one who sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf and my behalf right now. Praise him. And no matter what you and I are going through as individuals, God already knows.
Amen.
He already knows. In fact, he knows what you are going to go through tomorrow. You don't. Do you know that is one thing to thank God for?
Yeah.
I don't know what tomorrow holds. Praise God, I've only got to worry about today. Hallelujah. I've only got to be concerned about this day. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day that the Lord has given to me.
Amen.
And to you.
Yeah.
He hasn't given you tomorrow yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you don't need to worry about it.
No.
Amen. So quit worrying about tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow may never come. You may be suddenly caught up and gone. I'm not trying to be gloomy, you know. I mean, you know, gone to glory. Manifested in his presence, you know. You see, death is not, to the believer, death is not the end. It's just simply changing suits. Changing clothes. Hallelujah. This old frame will take on a new body.
Amen.
Where no sickness,
yeah.
No disease, no sorrow, no pain, no more crying, no more agonies. Hallelujah. What a...
Amen.
That's the place to be.
But
you know, today God wants you to begin to be manifesting that new body now. I'll say that again.
Yeah.
God today plans that that new body starts to manifest itself in you now.
Yeah.
Not when you get to glory. He has already made provision. Why did Jesus come and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears? He's showing us what is in the realm of the supernatural. What is in the realm that is available to you and to me. As believers in Christ Jesus. That is what God is about. And that is for third day saints. Turn to Hosea. I better just clear a few things up. I know I'm going to be sharing some things that some of you think, what is he talking about? But I just use a few scriptures for you. Praise the Lord. Hosea chapter 6. We'll read from verse 1. You got it?
Yeah.
Good. Come, let us return to the Lord.
Amen.
For he has torn us, but he will heal us.
Amen.
And everybody blames the devil. Oh, the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that. Hey, the devil has no power.
Amen.
If I read it right in my Bible, it says that Jesus defeated him when he died and rose again on the third day. And it says he stripped him of all power and all authority and took the keys of death and hell and gave gifts to men.
Amen.
On that third day. The devil has no power. The only power the devil has is the power that you give him.
That's right.
You can shout if you want. It'll give Anne a chance to just get the interpretation through. Glory to God. He has no power. He has no authority in this place. In this place. In this body. In this vessel. You know how you people say, oh, God's put me sick and on one side so he can talk to me. Well, folk, if you need to be laid on one side with sickness so God will talk to you, you're dumb. God does not need you to be sick to talk to you. He's talking to you all the time. The trouble is you're too busy, you won't listen. Going here, going there, doing this, doing that, being there, being there. God says, I want to talk to you. Instead of making time for him. Hallelujah. Better not go off the track, had we? Glory to God. Second, verse 2. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him. That we may live in his sight. It's 2,000 years, just over now, since Jesus died and rose again. There's a verse of scriptures that says, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. We are moved into the third day. We're moved into the third day when God will raise us up. And God is going to raise up his remnant church. The people who really believe in God. The people who are walking with God. And I'm not talking about people who attend churches. You see, you can have a nation of church attenders, or you can have a group of people who are committed to a relationship, a discipleship with a following Jesus. Some people say, you know, I don't say to people, are you a Christian? Most folks say, yeah, I was born in this country, so it must make me a Christian. It doesn't. You can be born in a garage, but it doesn't make you a car. Hey, you know, I mean, you can be born in a field, so what's that make you, a cow? Think about it. To be a disciple means you have to acknowledge that you were a sinner and you have to accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life, confess your faults, and begin to let him start to change you. And a disciple means to be a follower of Jesus. In other words, when Jesus says, come this way, we go that way. When Jesus says, stop, we stop. And when Jesus says, excuse me, there's something you and I need to deal with. There's a problem in your life, and he says, I need to deal with it. Are you ready? And he takes out the knife. The Bible says that Jesus said of his Father, he's the gardener. And we're the branches on the vine, Jesus. And he says, sometimes some of those branches need trimming. Need dealing with. They get a bit wayward.
Right.
Wild.
Yep.
Roses have wild branches.
Uh-huh.
And when they have wild branches, it draws the strength from the plant.
Yeah.
And you don't get good blooms.
No.
Right. Those gardeners will agree, won't you, Graham? Yes, wonderful.
Yeah.
And God wants good blooms.
Well,
he wants the scent of heaven being permeated out of his people. Not Christians, but disciples. Followers of Jesus. Are you a disciple or are you a Christian? And there, you know, there's no difference. I'm telling you, there is an absolute difference. And Jesus is coming back for his followers, his disciples. And that's the true church, the real church. It's not about, well, and he could say, well, I attend the Baptist church. Good, haven't you? Praise the Lord. could say, well, I attend a Methodist church. Well, praise God. You say, well, I attend Harvest Fields. Yeah. It's not about badges. It's not about names. It's about knowing the Master.
Amen.
It's knowing the Saviour who came to give us life, and that more abundantly.
Amen.
Praise His name.
Yeah.
Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 2. I just want to show you today some matching comparisons of what God is doing and when, to show that God is about order and He is about doing things in your life and in my life, and He is about to break in.
Amen.
God is on the doorstep.
Wow.
God wants to break in and claim His church back.
Yeah.
I said God wants to break in and claim His church back.
Amen.
And some people are not going to let Him, but some people are going to bow the knee and let Jesus be Lord and King.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, we read from Hosea and we talked about the third day. Do you understand we're in the third day?
Yeah.
Did you catch that, Philip? Oh, yeah.
A bit.
Okay. If you got a problem, stick your hand up. Okay. We let people talk. Is that Philip?
Yeah.
Sorry, that's Eddie, sorry, Eddie. My apologies, Eddie. Did you catch it, Philip? Good. See, I've got your names now. My apologies, Eddie. So we're in the third day. You know, you see, we've gone 2,000 years, 2 days. You understand? We've moved now into the third day. We're into that new millennium.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And things are going to happen.
Yeah.
The church, the true church, is going to be a different church to the church that the world is seeing and that the church knows.
Amen.
The true church is going back to Acts chapter 2.
Amen.
That's where the church has got to start from.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at that. But first we're going to look at Jesus, if you remember, when He was brought to John. When He came to John, He was baptized in water. And as He came up out of the water, the dove settled on Him, and it says He was led by the Spirit for 40 days into the wilderness. And there He was tried and tested by the devil. And He was victorious over the devil, and the devil left Him. And Jesus came out of the wilderness situation and came out in victory.
God.
You know, that 40 days is symbolic of the 40 years of the children of Israel wandering round about in the wilderness.
Right.
And they had 40 years in the wilderness because of their stiff-necked, rebellious nature.
That's true.
And when they finally submitted to God, they came into the promised land.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Don't get stiff-necked. I've got a bit of a stiff neck, but it's not through being rebellious. It's, you know, there's a nerve trapped in there somewhere. But don't be spiritually stiff necked.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
Stop it, David. Being spiritually stiff necked. If you've ever had a real stiff neck and the pain, the agony, and when you turn over in bed, it jars and wakes you. You know what I mean, don't you? God is going to deal with you. God is going to bring you through. And so Jesus came out of the wilderness into victory, into glory, to begin to manifest His power.
Yep.
To show us what is to come.
Yep.
To show us the glory of God. To show us the way that we can live life today on this earth in victory to His glory and His praise.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so if we look in John's Gospel chapter 2, and on the third day, take note, the third day. And on the third day there was a wedding, there was a feast, there was a time of rejoicing. And I'll tell you, in the third day that we are living in, during this day, there is going to be a wedding. Hallelujah. When He, the bride, comes for His glorious bride. Hallelujah. There are parallels in all of this. So there's this wedding that He's been invited to. Hallelujah. There is a wedding that He is invited to as the bride. Groom. Just checking whether you were listening. I hadn't finished. Hallelujah. And Jesus' mother was there, it says. And to anybody who's come out of a Catholic background, well, praise God for that. Praise God for what you've seen and what you've heard. Turns out that at this wedding they run out of wine. So in verse 5, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to the servants, "Whatever He says to you, do it." Whatever He says to you, do it. Now, whether you've been in a Catholic background, whether you're still in a Catholic background, you've got to remember that whatever Jesus says to you, His very own mother said, do it.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's exalting her son
yeah.
to the place that he's meant to be. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Master of the universe.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And whatever He says to you, do it. Wow. So Jesus says to these servants, verse 6, there are 6 stone water pots there. Go and fill them. Now these water pots were used for washing of feet. So, you know, Galilee's a bit of a dusty place. They wore sandals when they came in. Do you know, I don't know about you, but anything I ate is grit between my toes. You know, I mean, I've got delicate feet. My shoes have got to be comfortable. Even my socks have got to be comfortable. You know, have you ever had these cheap socks bought you where they've got this rib? Just round the toe area. And if you've got fairly tight fitting shoes, because the dressy shoes, and these socks and these shoes bite into your feet. And when you finally decide that you've suffered enough and you take your shoe and your sock off, there's a ridge that's dug into your toe and it looks as if it's about ready to fall off. I can't wait. You know, some mornings I'll put socks on and I think, has Grace washed them in maximum wash? You know, forgot to put Lenore in or something. Had to get all these socks and stretch them. You know, will these things give? You know, and then I put them on. I think, ooh, I don't like them today. So I take them off and throw them in the bin, the waste bin. I won't see them again. I gotta look after me. I'm delicate. Praise God. And so, there's these water pots. And they were for the washing of feet. So when you came in, the servants came up and said, sit down, David. And they'd wash your feet. Get all the grime off. And the sweaty smell off. You see, because they sat at tables and had their feet nearly on the table, you see. They didn't have chairs. They reclined at table. You know, it's like, well, get snap out. They reclined at table. And so if you weren't careful, you had somebody's feet tucked underneath your nose. You don't want our Jonathans. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus said, fill these water pots. Now, when they'd filled these water pots, in each of these water pots there was about 20 gallons. Okay? 20 times 6 is 120. Mm-hmm. Remember the number? 120. Okay? And then Jesus says, now go and serve this to the head waiter. But this is water. My neck could be on the line. But he takes a jug of this and he begins to serve it to the head waiter. He tastes it and drinks. He says, this is the best wine. He says, this is better than the good stuff we've already had. He says, usually somebody waits while they've all had a good fill of the drink and then put the vinegar in, basically. Give them the cheap stuff, the cheap plonk, but this is the real good stuff. And he was excited about this. Well, this is a spiritual reference here. God is saving the best till last. Because he says there is going to be an outpouring from God and it is going to be a double portion. There is going to be an abundance of an outpouring. It's going to be double blessings. He says he will pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Your sons and your daughters shall. Not might, not maybe, but will prophesy. Hallelujah. Now this wine is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. So remember, 120, and remember it's symbolic of the Holy Ghost. You got that? What did I say to you? And 120. Excellent. You're listening. Good. Praise God. So Jesus launches his ministry with this first miracle. Now turn to Acts. The book of Acts. Chapter 1. Got it? Good. The first account I compose, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive, after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. What did we say earlier? He was 40 days in the wilderness. 40 days in the wilderness. He's now 40 days after his resurrection. He's now still waiting actually to arise and enter into his final glory. But he has something to do. And he shares with his disciples, with his followers, the mighty things that God is going to do and what he's doing. And he begins to speak of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Wow. It's not a kingdom of a church. It's not a kingdom of a doctrine. It's the kingdom of God. It's not the doctrine of the Baptist, the Methodist, the Church of England, the Roman Catholics. It's about the kingdom of God. And he begins to share with them, and for 40 days he's ministering into them, in this, out of this new body. this resurrected body, this resurrected life, and he is giving life and imparting life to his apostles at this time. Verse 5 says, "For John baptized with water, but Jesus said, 'But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'"
Amen.
So Jesus tells them that they're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There is going to be an outpouring. Praise him. From chapter 2, verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost had come, They were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." The day of Pentecost was 10 days later. 50 days. 50. At times relates to a year of Jubilee. A year of deliverance, a year of freedom and of blessings and of double portions. That's what 50 relates to. 5 relates to the day, to days of grace. God's grace on your life, God's mercy on your life. And so these numbers are not just coincidentally there, they're there for a purpose. They're there to remind you of certain things. They're there to connect things of the past and to connect things to the future. Glory to God. You see, God is not disjointed. God's the mathematician. He created all things. He made all things. He envisaged all things. The great creators, the designers, all lived in places where the gospel was being preached.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God, it is God who gives wisdom. It is God who gives knowledge. It is God who will give the innovative ideas.
Amen.
Because God is creative. And if you're in a relationship with Jesus and with God the Father, you will inherit his creative nature.
Amen.
So look out for some creative ideas coming your way. You might suddenly be an inventor. Never invented anything in your life. And suddenly, because you've suddenly become a disciple and a follower of Jesus, God gives you an idea. You might laugh. There's a man sat on this front row. God gave him an idea many years ago. Unfortunately, it was never painted and put together and designed, but we're waiting for the next idea. It won't happen again. Before car locks, you know, these things you put on your gear lever and your handbrake, before these things ever came on the marketplace, he invented his own. He could have been, you know, stand up. I could have been rubbing alongside a millionaire now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's still a millionaire in there somewhere.
Amen.
But you see, your ideas don't come out of your frustrations. Your ideas come out of your relationship with Jesus. When you're frustrated, you're not in relationship, you're not in peace, because you're in the storm.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to be in the storm, then get right into the middle of the storm.
Yeah.
Because in the middle, nothing's happening. It's totally peaceful.
Yeah.
They say that when a hurricane comes through, when you get to the center of the hurricane, everything stops and goes back to normal.
Yeah.
It's silent, it's peaceful. When it begins to move through,
yeah,
then the power comes.
Yeah.
And no matter where you are, when you're in a storm, you need to be in the center of the storm. Hallelujah. Don't try and get out of it. Let the storm blow out. Let the storm blow out. And you just go with whatever God is doing. You learn to rest on Him. You learn to trust Him. So many of us will panic. We've got to get out of this. Got to get out of this. In this, God is trying to teach you something. But I don't like storms. Me neither. But God is going to teach you something. Forty days, the number of four, when Jesus was still on the earth, is the world number.
Yeah.
It's the number of creation.
Yeah.
It's the number for the world system. And Jesus spent 40 days teaching His disciples, bringing them and changing their thinking from this worldly system that they were living in, and bringing them to a point of spirituality, ready to accept the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on their lives.
Amen.
So that when the outpouring of the Holy Ghost came upon them, there was nothing going to stand in their way, because Jesus had taught them for 40 days and had dealt with the world system within their own lives, with Judaism, and brought them to a place where they were ready to step into this power and grace. When Pentecost came, and then the wind began to blow, and it says, and how many were gathered together? How many? 120 were gathered together. If you read Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, and at this time Peter stood up in the midst of his brethren and gathering of them about 120 persons were there. So there's about 120 in the upper room. How many gallons did we have? We have water? About 120. Wow. Jesus took hold of that 120 gallons and divinely changed it into something totally different. Wine, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the upper room, takes hold of 120 wet, wimpy, dripping disciples hiding upstairs. Come on. Peter, remember Peter when he was being accused of, says, a young girl says to him, you look like one of his disciples, you've got the same slang, twang and everything, you must be one of his. And what did he start to do? He trembled and got fearful, and he started cursing and swearing and saying he did not know this man Jesus. He's scared of a girl, a servant girl of all things. See what I mean? Grace said earlier on, when she started, she was talking about Peter being that reed. You know, he's all over the place.
Yeah.
You know? One minute he's, give me a sword and I'll kill him, you know? Next minute it's like, I'm going. I'm off. It's a bit dangerous, you know? Blowing all over with the wind. And we're just saying, but you know, when the power of the Holy Ghost comes on us, when the Holy Ghost came on that 120 in that upper room, and He broke loose amongst them, and they began to speak in tongues, and there were cloven tongues of fire on their head, they went out into the marketplace, and the place was full and heaving with bodies, and they began to speak to the people in their own tongue, and they began to tell them about Jesus, about the Messiah, about the risen Savior, who was dead but is now alive. The healer, the deliverer, the one who can set the captives free. And they began to proclaim. And it says that day, it says, over 3,000 men were added to the church. 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. If God can get that upper room experience into the church again afresh, if God can get that into the church, there'll be a powerful breakthrough that will turn the areas where we live upside down. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, but I'll tell you this, everybody, by the time the Holy Ghost is finished, will know that Jesus is real, that Jesus is Lord. Whether they accept Him and make Him Lord of their life, that is a different issue. But they will all acknowledge, and they will all have to bow the knee and acknowledge Him as Lord of the and Creator of all things. They may not accept Him as Savior. There's a difference. You see, even a defeated army has to bow its knee to the king who has defeated them. And they still may suffer the chop. And so as you can see that even in what we've just shared today, the order of things that God is doing, God is wanting to put order into your life, into my life. God has it ordered. Don't panic. Begin to rest in God. Begin to trust. You see, we have to learn to trust God. Yeah, it's all right for you. How do you know? Some folks say, well, it's all right for you. You don't know what I'm going through. No, that's true. Might be a good job I don't, because I might pray, Lord, increase the pressure. Get them through it quicker. Bring them out the other side, refined, crystal clear. Finely honed, sharpened, so that you sparkle like a diamond with the glory of God on you. Amen. See, diamonds are forged under great pressure, under tremendous heat. Anybody volunteering for pressure? Can I see your hand? No. You'll never be a diamond in the kingdom of God. You'll never be a jewel in the kingdom of God, if you will not allow God to put you under the pressure and under the heat. There isn't a way to get a cheap diamond. You know, they've tried manufacturing these diamonds, as they call, well, they don't call them diamonds anymore, do they now? I forgot what they call them. Zircons. They nearly look like a diamond. The process is getting better, but they're not. And to the trained eye, they can tell whether it's a real diamond or whether it's a manufactured, man-made diamond. Well, I'll tell you this, God is not looking for man-made, manufactured Christians. God is looking for Christians, and I'll go back a bit. God is not looking for man-made, manufactured disciples.
That's right.
I don't like the term Christian, it's too broad. Disciple. Follower of Jesus, prepared to pay the price. God is looking for those who've been in His hand, and that He's put the pressure on, and that He has formed. You know, look at the person next to you. Just have a good look at them. Do you know something? They are only a piece of clay. An old piece of pot. Do just had another thought. Jonathan, can you tell me this? You're studying these sort of things. The body is made up of how much water? 65% plus. Okay? Now, you know those earthen vessels we were talking about in the doorway that were used for washing the feet? They contain water. This contains a lot of water. This contains a lot of water. But you know, when the Holy Ghost gets on it, he turns this bit of water slopping about into wine. Hallelujah. Can you see the pictures and the parallels that God has portrayed? You know, this is, I know I'm trying to make it humorous in one sense, but this is the reality of it. That piece of clay full of water, God, when he gets his hands on it by the power of the Holy Ghost, changes it from being water to being new wine.
Amen.
To have an anointing on it. Wow. God is doing everything in order. And he's doing it for his glory. He's doing it so that he will be magnified.
Amen.
Not you and me.
No.
And remember, God knows that. He knows what he's got in earthen vessels.
Right.
He knows that you know, if you get thumped a bit, you'll crack.
Yep.
He knows how to handle you.
Uh-huh.
You know, and if you get cracked, do you know what he'll do? He'll smash you up and grind you down. Mix a bit more water with you. Mix you all up again. Throw you on the potter's wheel. Get his hands on you and squeeze you and spin you around a few times. And then when he's done that and got a nice looking pot, he'll go and push you in a fiery furnace. My God, you know, this is being a believer. Whoa, wait a minute. You know, when they said to me, come to Jesus and everything will be fine, they didn't tell me about that. Nobody said he was going to crush me and break me and remold me and make me and shove me in a furnace. Whoa. Everybody said, come to Jesus and everything will be fine. You're kidding. As soon as I came to Jesus, I became the devil's enemy. You know, come to Jesus and it'll be like living in a bed of roses. Come and fall in the roses that we used to have. Wow, whoa, you were glad when you got out. Oh, you were scarred. You know, I had the gospel misrepresented to me. Jesus is looking for people who are going to change.
Yeah.
From glory to glory to glory to glory.
Woo!
who are going to be forged in the fire.
Yeah.
Who are going to come under the hammer.
Yeah.
And God will shape. You know, a sword is no good unless it goes in the fire.
Yeah.
And when it comes out, it has to be plunged into water. Two extremes. And then when that's, it's still no good. Because then it has to go back in the fire again.
Yeah.
And then plunged in oil.
Yeah.
And then it goes back in the fire. And there's a process of tempering.
That's right.
So that when this sword is swung and it hits something, it won't just shatter and break into pieces.
Yeah.
And when all that's done, you might think, have arrived. No, don't worry. It's not finished yet. There's a grinding wheel. And the sparks will fly. Glory to God. And you'll go up in flames again. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus and all your problems will be solved. Yes, they are. But you have to trust him.
Amen.
You have to rely on him.
Yeah.
Your problems aren't taken away. God begins to work you through them.
Amen.
He's bringing out strong people.
Yeah.
He's bringing out people of power.
Amen.
People with a backbone.
Woo.
People that can stand up in the face of adversaries and say, I am a disciple, a follower of Jesus.
Amen.
People that can stand the heat of the fire.
Yeah.
Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego said, whatever you do, we will not bow the knee to any other golden idol. So they said, heat it up seven times fatter than it's ever been. And the fire was heated so much that when the guards went close to throw them in, even the guards died from the heat.
Yeah.
And they threw these three guys in. Three Jewish boys. Never done anything wrong, but just stood up for what they believed for and worshipped God, the creator of the universe. They were tied hand and foot. Couldn't move. But guess what? When they got in the fire, glory, they began to move. They started to walk around and the king looks in and says, whoa, wait a minute. How many did we throw in there? Three, Your Majesty. There's four. One looks like the Son of God. There's something about him. And Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were talking with the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, in the midst of a fire.
Amen.
And the only thing that came off were the bondages.
Yeah.
Were the problems.
Yeah.
Were the things that hold them back.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what came off.
Yeah.
You know, when you start fussing, and when you start being obnoxious, when you start being irritable, those are the things that come off in the furnace. When you start being a bit rebellious, when you start being a bit stiff-necked, that's what gets burnt away in the fire. Everything that stops you rising into the things of the kingdom of God. Everything that stops entering, causes stopping you from entering into God's fullness. See, we don't volunteer, do we? Really? So, you're not getting me. I don't want to go through them situations. I want an easy road. Most folk, when they come to Jesus, want to get on a cruise ship. You know, everything's laid on for you. 5-star, you know, swimming pools, saunas, deck chairs laid out, somebody to come and give you a masseur, etc. You know, they all want this lifestyle. Well, when we began to set the church up, God said to me, he said, tell the folk that have just joined you, he said, that I'm not offering a cruise ship.
No.
He said, I'm offering a battleship.
Amen.
Burn all the deck chairs. We had three families leave us immediately. It's true, we did. We had three folk, families leave us immediately. They said, we're not joining a battleship. We want a cruise. There's no cruising in the kingdom. Hallelujah. But the battle belongs to the Lord. But we've got to get on board. And when he comes in the cloud with his saints, hallelujah, the battle's already won. Hallelujah. And you and I have to realize that. God is not looking for, God is not giving an easy ride. God is about bringing things to perfection in you and in me. He's dealing with the things that get in the way. He's dealing with our sins that prevent us from coming into the kingdom of God in that fullness, from flowing in the power of this resurrection life, from the things that happened in the day of Pentecost. Read the book of Acts again. Let it challenge you. Let it inspire you to see what happened in the early church, and then you can begin to hunger and thirst for the things of God. God's about order in your life, not disorder. And I guarantee that sin will always bring disorder. Sin will bring disarray. Sin will bring turmoil, strife, and difficulty. But when God comes in, He brings order. You don't see it as order, by the way. Because you've enjoyed living in your untidy, godless way. And when God comes in, He begins to change things around. Move things around, and you fall over the furniture. Things aren't in the same place what they used to be. God moves things around. You've heard me tell how Grace used to move the furniture around. And she put the settee across the doorway just about. And I'd walk into the lounge, not turn the light on. I walk across, boom, next, I'm over the top of the settee. We got rid of that one, got a new one now. She can't move this one, hallelujah. This one doesn't have wheels and needs at least 2 to 3 people to lift it to move it. Ha ha, so I'm safe, hallelujah. I can walk in with the lights off, you know. But you see, God moves things around. And you know, God comes into your little rooms and says, this is an untidy mess. Who's in here? Who's been living in here? This body, your body, is a temple for the Holy Ghost. And if you look in Nehemiah, you'll see there where he goes round and he begins to look and says, who's living in this room, in this temple? It's one of Sanballat and Tobias's mates, who were against the building of the walls and against building of the temple. The man of God flips, blows a fuse, and says, get everything out of here, burn it, and cleanse this room. In the same way, the Holy Ghost, when He comes into your rooms and He sees things that do not belong there, that are not godly, He throws a fit. A holy fit. And He takes hold of it and He throws it out and He lets the fire of God burn it and He begins to move into that room to cleanse it. Right. Hallelujah. Praise God, He's still cleansing us. Praise God, He's not given up on us. And He's still got a great thing for us to do in the future. But we've got to come into that place where we are going to be disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, not Christians. It's become an easy tag to carry today. But it is a follower of Jesus Christ. So today I challenge you. I challenge each and every one of you. I don't know who, whether you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, whether you've made a decision to follow the Lord in the last few months, I don't know. And suddenly realize that, whoops, the decision I made, or the fact I've never made a decision, I need to make one. Or that I've made that decision, but I didn't really know what I was deciding to follow. I want to stand up and say, I want to follow this Jesus. I want to be a follower, a disciple of this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to be committed absolutely and totally to Him. And no matter what the cost is, I will pay the price. Amen? Now, I don't know. I'm going to ask one question. Is there anybody here today who doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Saviour and wants to make Him Lord and Saviour? Wants to surrender everything they've got to Him and make Him Lord of their life? Now, I'm not going to say everybody bow your head and close your eyes, because this is an open thing. This is a declaration. Jesus was stripped naked and nailed to a cross publicly. So I'm saying, is there anybody here that wants to take Jesus as Lord and Saviour, that's never made Him Lord of their life? If you do, I want you to raise your hand and say, yes, Lord, I want You to be Lord of my life. Okay, I presume everybody then knows Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Is there anybody here today that's made a decision and that says, wow, I've not really seen it as bad as this? And I want to reaffirm my decision to say that I'm not quitting, but I'm going forward. And I'm going to stand for Jesus. And I will go through the fire. I will go through the storm. And I will come out victorious, changed. And I will be a diamond, a jewel in the kingdom of God.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
It's a challenge to you. It is a challenge. I say I don't know everybody here today. And if you want to make that decision, if you want to say, well, I want to make it a firm decision, I want to make it strong, then stand and say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be that. And there's a price to pay. I don't know what price you'll have to pay, but there will be a price to pay. And only God can bring you through it. Only the anointing of the Holy Ghost can bring you through it.
Yeah.
And it's not, the Christian life will not be an easy walk. I'm not offering an easy walk. Jesus never offered an easy walk. He said, they cursed him. They said awful things about him and they abused him. And he said, the same thing will be said about you. But he paid the ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Anybody else? I don't want to be ever found in that place where I never hear those words, well done thou good and faithful servant. God has given us talents and abilities, and God wants to use those. He wants to refine them and to use them in our lives for His praise and for His glory. You need to be, each and every one of you need to be planted in a church, set in a church, and you need to serve that body for the glory of God. And if you don't know where you should be, then you need to begin to seek God to find that place. Because until you find that place, you won't know the blessings of God in your life to a great abundance. You will know a form of blessing, but God wants to bring you to a greater blessing. And I know some of you are not from here, that's good. But make sure that where you're going, you are set, you are planted, you know that's the place. And that when you get offended by somebody in that church that you're in, tough, you've got to get over it.
Amen.
Because you are set.
Yes.
You are not a potted plant.
No.
You are a plant that is set in the ground.
Amen.
And set to grow and put deep down roots.
Amen.
And so if you get offended, tough, let God cut it off. Because it's an abomination to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before you right now. And we just call upon you. We call upon the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power in that name. The power of your Holy Ghost that came down to this earth to minister to our lives. Father, I just pray for each and every one that is standing, Father, right now, that, Lord, there shall be a greater commitment, a greater desire, a greater strengthening, O God. And that, Lord, whatever the challenges face us, we know that you have conquered all. And that you, O Lord, will carry us through and bring us through in victory. Lord, give us the courage to stay in the furnace when the fire is turned on. Give us courage to stay on the potter's wheel. Lord, that we might be moulded and shaped into the vessel that will outpour your glory in these last days. Let this third day be the day of glory, even in our own lives, for the glory of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Thank you.